Well, it's such an honor to always bring the Word of God, and such a humbling thing because, I mean, the Word of God is more than precious. It represents who He is and teaches us about the Lord. So my prayer is that all of us, no matter if you're visiting, you may be visiting for the first time or second, you may be new to Christ, or you may be just kind of searching out this Jesus thing. What is this thing about church and all that? So wherever you're at, or you may, you know, just you're a committed New Hope Oahu member, we just trust that the Word of God would just sink into our hearts and change us by the Spirit of God. Amen. Well, how was your Christmas? Hectic or relaxing? All the hectics, raise your hand. Hectic. Wow, relaxing. Hey, all right. You know, all the services, there's been more relaxing. Oh, so all the hectics get together with the relaxing and kind of balance each other out that way. Well, it was kind of hectic for me at one point because, you know, we had the musicals and services. And it's just really good. But I was like, what do I get Pastor Wayne? So I went out, Sports Authority. I know, you know, he's a sports guy, right? And I thought, oh, he probably liked that compression kind of stuff. So I saw this guy. I saw this guy wearing this thing. I'm like, wow, that's what I want to get. So I went to, like, take a picture of this guy. I look around the corner. I went, uh-oh, guess who? Oh, my goodness. I'm like, Pastor Wayne, what you doing walking around Sports Authority? Oh, the kind. You know, man, what a guy. Anyway, since he got one of those, I got him one of these. It's on order. It's a Portuguese calculator. You get it. I'm gonna help him out a little bit. Was Pastor. I thought was funny. As Pastor Wayne highlighted, there's been so many wonderful things that has happened, occurred, I mean, just at the church, through the church, and so many challenging times as well, I mean, as a church community, as Ohana together. And I'm just wondering, what about you? What about personally you? I mean, the Bible says we are the church, right? Not made with hands. We're not a building. Not about a building. It's about us. So what about you? How was your year? About your family? What about relationships, the workplace? I know there's, man, in this room, Ohana 10, those streaming online, I mean, represented, I mean, there's so much financial strain. I know, I mean, and sometimes we kind of do it to ourselves, right? How many of you thinking, huh, I shouldn't have spent all that money in Christmas? You know, we charge it up, we go into debt. I mean, there's all kinds of things that's going on. And I believe represented in this room, some of you probably, like myself, there's been some just heart-throbbing, joyful times in the year. And then some heart-wrenching, painful situations and seasons and times. And I believe that many of you are like me, that throughout the year and even throughout this past week, as we deal with our own sinfulness, man, I just deal with this worldliness want within, and life is about me, and I deal with my own sinfulness, and yet I experience and continue to experience, by God's just wonderful grace, the joy of belonging to Him. Just by the cross, we sang about that glorious, I just love that. Death will not win. Our King has come. Our God, He reigns. He's conquered. And that's not just a song to me. It's like here, a relationship with Jesus. And so how many of you have experienced that? The pains of your flesh and the joys of freedom, right? And it's like, wow, I just seem to go back and forth. But yet in God's eyes, wow, He loves me. He loves you and I. Well, John 10:10 says something. I have come that you may have life and life more dysfunctional. No, not really. Life more abundant, right? He wants us to give us an abundant life. Well, maybe not in the way that we think or want or imagine, but God knows. I want to talk to us, kind of have an Ohana time, a family time together with our New Hope Oahu. And if you're visiting, maybe something of God will touch you in a personal way, in your heart, in your family. And so I was just thinking that there's so many times we want to press fast forward. I mean, like, hey, we want to leave today, leave this past year, and we want to move into the future. Some of us are like, I don't know about the future. I want to rewind. Because, oh man, I don't want to leave this, and there's victories here, and I wonder what it's going to be like in here, and you're a worry wart, and you want to press rewind. Well, today I want to press pause. And then let's download three reminders that I believe is for us, our church, for our lives, even for our relationships, as we look at lessons learned and wisdom gained. At the top of your notes, you ready? Top of your notes, read with me. Ready? Go. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. And this is kind of what we do as Christians, to partner, in a sense, with His goodness. It's His goodness. He wants us to walk in His path this next coming year. But I think this is what we need to do all the day long. But check this out in Psalm 37:5. Read with me. Ready? Go. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. Commit everything we do to the Lord. Isn't that an ongoing kind of heart posture? And then decisions we make throughout the day to commit everything we do, everything we are, to the Lord, to trust Him. Wow, it's kind of tough. But the Bible says He will be our help. You know, it is good to kind of reflect and ponder. So I gave you some questions that you can use in maybe family time or amongst your friends, even at work, maybe in relationships. I know I used a couple of these questions at the gym as working out and just, you know, getting to know people. Hey, what was the most challenging thing in your year? Well, check these questions out. They're pretty good. We need to ponder. What was the best thing that happened this past year with you in your life? What was the most challenging thing that happened? I mean, I believe represented in this room, again, out under the Ohana tent, man, there's some challenging things, and maybe they're still going on. You're walking in some pretty tough situations. I asked my wife, who's here, "Hi, honey. Thanks for sitting in the front row. You're so brave. You know I'm going to pick on you." Yeah. But I asked her, "Honey, what was the most challenging thing?" And she looked at me and her eyes just blew. And she just smirked, "You." Well, that was my answer too. No. With whom were your most valuable relationships? Who? With whom is your most valuable relationships? I like this one. What was the biggest thing you learned this past year? Or what are three words that describe 2013 for you? Hey, and I want to encourage some of us, I mean, the Christians that we want to be a light, those at work and wherever we go. I mean, those are just easy questions. Hey, how you doing? You know, and hey, well, what's three words that describe your 2013? And a great way to maybe open the door to a conversation that leads you to planting seeds of God's love. Well, as we ponder and pause, we want to download this reminder. Number one, we want to download this truth. We are God's family. We're God's family by assignment and not convenience. It's by His calling. It's by His covenant. By assignment and not convenience. I'm going to read this passage and just follow along with me. Oh, there's just some rich, rich truths in this. And Paul is praying. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints." Everyone say, "Comprehend with all the saints." God wants us to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, big theme that I believe in this text, Paul is saying, Hey, I want you, the church, to be filled to the brim with Him. Oh, getting like Pastor Wayne, I'm rhyming. I'm filled to the brim with Him. I'm filled to the brim with Him. You know, I thought Pastor Wayne was going to say in his rhyme, where the people of New Hope and half the staff was on dope. Yeah, was. That included him. Paul is saying in this passage, I want you to be filled to in your hearts to the brim with Him. That goes for us. And what's neat about this, and I see that Paul's using family language. Check that out. I bow my knees before my Father. Every family in heaven and on earth is named by God. And He wants us to comprehend together. He wants us to grow, comprehend and grow together as a body of Christ. I see that out of the calling of assignment and not convenience, that God is calling us to Himself. You know, speaking of inconvenience, my last name, Shima Bukuro, wasn't easy to spell when I was in kindergarten. And you know, it was like, I got real identity issues and like insecurities, learning my alphabets and then learning how to spell my last name. And then in school, the teacher, are you done spelling and working on your last name? And all of the kids, Lee, Choi, I'm done. And here I am, still working on my last name. Hey, it was hard, you know. And check this out. Some of you don't know this. My full name, Rotary Masaaki Shimabukuro. You try spell that in first grade. Oh, man. Rotary. Who do you know is Rotary? Now, get Roderick, Rodney. Rotary. R-O-D-E-R-I-E. Seven letters. Is that seven? R-O-D-E-R-I-E. How's that? How weird is that? But Shimabukuro. I was proud of my last name. I'd said this before. My last name used to be Silva. On my birth certificate, it's Silva. And my mom got pregnant. Akang. I never know my dad. Was Akang situation, eh? Like that. Way back, eh? Hey, I praise the Lord. She never give me up, you know, Akang. Or, like, abort me or whatever. It could have been, you know. Could have been. But my last name was Silva, and then when she moved back to Hawaii, my grandfather, Shimabukuro, and she was Shimabukuro, my grandfather looked at me, oh, handsome, this one, no, baby, Shimabukuro, we must change the name to Shimabukuro. I'm like, yeah! But then I look back, I'm like, oh, if it was Silva, I'd be done already. Hey, so check this out. So, you know, it was inconvenient at times, but check this out. The story goes on. My wife and I have three kids, Kai, Koa, Malia, right? So teenage years, Kai's 17, Koa's 15, Malia. By the way, Malia is my princess. She is my favorite. And my two boys are here sitting right there. They know it. They know it. Yeah. Where was I now? So I get in this man, it's drag them out, knock down, just this conversation with Kai, my oldest. I mean, behind the scenes, I'm rugged, you know. This guy was lipping off to me. I mean, we've had bouts like nobody's business, and I'm much of the problem. Because, like, I'm short fused. I get angry. I have a hot temper. I'm impatient. Yeah, honey. And so here, I mean, he starts mouthing off, acting up. And then he says, you know, when I'm old enough, well, I'm going to move to the mainland and I'm going to change my last name. Last name.
I take pride in our last name. I can spell my last name. You know what I'm saying? You like change your last name. And I'm embellishing the story. It's kind of like this. I get the championship belt in this house. You like change your last name. Bah, I change them for you. And I'm going to change your face. Bah. Like, you like step outside. You remember that, hon? Man, I would call him up. I took off my shirt. I went outside, opened the door like, come on. You think he came? But a guy might be bigger than me, but praise the Lord, he knows Jesus. Why am I telling you this story? Oh, yeah, the last name. Hey, so fast forward. So he goes to the mainland. He comes back. He's living at home again. He still gets his last name. Now, check this out. His last name, Shimabukuro, right? He gets a job at Nordstrom selling women's shoes. And big part of the business is the Japanese tourists, so I understand. Oh, Shimabukuro. Oh. He's not tall, dark. He's tall, white, and handsome. Hapa Shimabukuro. Huh? Oh, hi. You like, oh, your last name, Shimabukuro. Oh, yes, he likes Shimabukuro. Yes. Would you like to buy thugs, Uggs, I don't know, whatever? Oh, big sale using my last name. You know it's true, brah. You know it's true. I told him I was going to tell this story. Hey, by the way, Travis works at Nordstrom's too, selling shoes. Go visit Travis, lady. Yeah, Nordstrom. Hey, you know, I just feel a conviction in my own heart. Because when it's convenient for me to wear the name of Christ in church, oh, pastor. Oh, yeah. Hey, but what about out where it really counts? At home. Oh, God, help me. I'm so glad you're staying married to me, honey. What about where it counts? In the marketplace, at work, in your homes. And sometimes I feel like some of us want to abandon the name of God. Because we want to do our own thing and we're caught in our own worldliness and sinfulness and we shame sometimes be a witness for Christ. I mean, I get that way too. But I'm like, man, I'm bearing the name. I don't want to change my name. Because check this out in the next passage here. Look, read with me in Ephesians 1:5. This is so good. Read with me. Ready? Go. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Wow. Do you catch this? Please look at your notes again. Please look at your notes. God decided in advance to choose you, to adopt Rod, to adopt, put your name in there. And even those of you may, no, you don't know me. Maybe you're still searching. Maybe you're still seeking. You're wondering, well, God's heart is for you. And he wants to adopt you into a relationship with him, into his own family by bringing you and I to himself. And who is it through? It's through Jesus, the person we sing about. The cross, the life of Jesus. Wow. And this is what gets me. This is what he wants to do. God knows you. God knows your problems. God knows your wickedness. He knows you. Everything about you because he made you. And he loves you and I. And check this out. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure. Listen, Some of you need to be reminded of this. You bring God great pleasure. You think, oh, you don't know me. Well, you don't know me either. And I tell you, I'm standing up here a hypocrite at times. But I still know that in Christ, because of his love and forgiveness, I bring him great pleasure. Not because, oh, Rod's so fantastic. No. But there is a partnership. There is an obedience that must take place. Amen. And so the next verse says this. And let me read this while you follow along. Ephesians 2:19. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are, what? Citizens along with all of God's holy people. All of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You and I are members of God's family. No longer strangers or foreigners. Now, I wonder about this, church. I wonder if you're like me, and you still treat your very own like strangers, like foreigners. And again, we're a fairly large church. There's lots of people. We don't maybe know each other, know each other's names. But let's just begin working at it, becoming Ohana together. But I wonder, we treat each other, even within our very own, let's take it home, in our very own homes, we're estranged. They're strained relationships. We're treating each other as strangers, foreigners. And in relationships in general, do you deal with this like I do? Unforgiveness? Pride? The want to make me known? Gossip? Anybody else deal with disrespect? Disrespecting people? I disrespect my wife. I shouldn't. But I do. My children, I shouldn't, but I do at times. And I treat them as strangers and foreigners. I'm going to, going out on the limb here, it's a little different kind of word. Those of you who aren't married, you're seeking a relationship. Maybe you're in a relationship, you're thinking about getting married. You're dating now, whatever the situation is. I just feel a prompting, those of you out there, to be careful. And to be careful to honor the other person as God's. To honor their heart and their mind and their body as God's. Because God's the owner, not you. And if you are dating, be careful. And I'm not talking about just the physical, sexual. That's huge. That's a huge temptation. People are falling into the trap. Fornication. I mean, adultery, right? I mean, it's around. But I'm saying to you, I trust by the Spirit of God, be careful. And let's treat each other. Man, I'm just trying to clothe my own mind to treat, to look at people as God's. As God's property, as God's creation. Amen?
Amen?
Number two, commit to learning and unlearning together. Commit to learning and unlearning together. Over 30 years now, since coming to know Christ, as a new creation in Christ, I've been learning about Him, learning and growing closer to Him. It's just by the grace of God continuing. But I have a need to unlearn some things. Unlearn bad habits of my own will. Unlearn bad habits that I've picked up in the world. Here's my question to some of us. Who are we modeling our lives after? Who are we learning from? Let's read together in Job. Oh, I love this passage. This is so good. Read together with me. Ready? Go. True wisdom and real power belong to God. From Him we learn how to live and also what to live for. I mean, we can get into social media, TV, the books we read. Again, not all bad thing, but what are we downloading? Who are we sort of picking up and learning from? What are we soaking in that's maybe of the or too much of this? This show or movies or whatever it might be. Who are you hanging out with? That's, and again, it's This, what are you downloading? Who are you learning from? And according to Job here, it's from him we learn how to live. You want to learn how to live better? I want to get closer to God through his word. In the next passage of scripture, let me read this while you follow along. This is so good in Proverbs. Skilled living gets its start in the fear of God. Insight into life. Check this out. You want insight into life? Where does that come from? Knowing a holy God. You want insight into life? Knowing a holy God. It's through me, wisdom, that your life deepens and the years of your life ripen. Live wisely, Rod. What about you? Live wisely and wisdom will permeate your life. You mock life and life will mock you. I remember needing to sort of learn and relearn and unlearn some things when we moved back to Hawaii in 2000. My wife and I and the three kids were younger, and we were in Kansas City for about 15 years, moved back, and I was relearning just the beauty and the honor of potlucks and eating all this local food. Yeah! After a year and a half, and of course, New Hope and the climate, the culture, and the church was 6,000 at that time. In 2000, church was growing. There's lots of work. And I was loving it. In that first year and a half, stresses, eating. I gained like 20 pounds that first year and a half. And then I was having some chest pains. Went to the cardiologist. Found out that I have a certain condition, my heart, that I still deal with, but stress doesn't help, and the weight didn't help. So he said, and he was a runner, he says, well, you got to do cardio. Oh, cardio. Cardiologist, cardio. Take care of your heart, Rod. You may last longer. So thought, okay, I want to take care of my heart. I had to unlearn some bad habits in my lifestyle, and I'm still unlearning. I didn't become, I don't think, like the health nut, and it's good, be a health nut. It wasn't like about the diet, it was about my heart was changing the lifestyle. But I had to learn, relearn, but I had to unlearn some things about how I lived. You know, and it was a partnership with the Lord. And so over the years, now 13 years later, it's just, I still love butter mochi, I still eat andagi. I mean, I love crab. I still eat all that stuff. Moderation over the years, though, just trying to watch this lifestyle. Learn and unlearn. And I'm just so blessed by God's grace. After 13 years, it's like, wow, I've been sick, caught colds, but I've missed, like, work, New Hope, called in sick. It's like 2.5, 3 sick days in the past 13 years. That's like, what a testimony unto the Lord. But there's a partnership to unlearn some things. Now let me ask you, what's some areas? One area, two, what's some areas in your life that God's saying, hey, need to learn and you need to unlearn some things? The priority would be our relationship with Jesus, right? And how to grow with him, just sitting before him, growing and learning of him. But what are some other maybe some practical. Maybe it has to do with relationships. Maybe it has to do with your health. Maybe it has to do with finances. That's a challenging one as well. So we learn and unlearn together. And number three, I love this. We commit to God's mission for our future. We commit to God's mission for our future. I do love our pastor. I don't know, so much to be said in light of what God has done through a man. And of course, with Anna's support. Wow, incredible. But the mission of the Lord that I'm growing and I'm just putting my ear close to kind of what Pastor Wayne's saying, arise. The season that our church is in. Now, I'm talking about our church now. The mission of God for our future as a church is Arise 5x5. Arise, awaken emerging leaders. R, redefining wisdom in the marketplace. So to have classes, courses to partner with those in the marketplace. We have a marketplace leaders ministry. We also have I, intentional parenting. So we're going to have parenting classes, courses. How can we better partner and grow parents? Honey, you want to do at least a seminar workshop, yeah? We can do it. Imagine that. We can talk hours of all our mistakes we've made, yeah? I mean, hey, be good. Glean from our mistakes and then learn. But intentional parenting. S is statesmanship. And all that we've been through, in light of government, God's raising up people to be involved as statesmen in our government. So how do we do that? And then E is eternal decisions. And you know that we're a church that wants to partner with you, the family of God. Make this a place where we can invite friends, invite people, invite non-Christians, people who are searching so that they don't feel threatened or beat up. But there's something of Jesus that we're partnering with you to invite people so they hear the good news, the hope of Jesus. Amen? And so that's our mission, to arise. Let me put it this way. What's your mission? What is your God mission? As a husband, as a wife, as a daughter of God, what is your God mission for your life? There's something of eternity that's beyond the temporal roots that sometimes we set. Oh, no, work to get my home, and I want to be successful, and I want a career, and I want to get married. I want to do what is God's mission for you? What is He calling you to? And I love this passage of Scripture. Would you read this with me? Ready? Go. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Ah, and that's our heart's call. To make life less about us and more about Him. What is God speaking to you about in light of your mission? Whatever role you have, whatever you're doing, what is God speaking? I ask you to pray. I ask you to beseech Him and say, God, what is your mission for my life? It's not just about New Hope. I mean, we got building fun. We're going to be family. I believe there's a committed group of people here out under the Ohana Tam. I mean, we've got, and we'll do that. What's God's mission for each of you as the living church? If only I may finish the race and complete the task. I believe born into every one of us, as we think about the year in 2013, moving into 2014, but today, is that your heart? You want to finish the race well. Not just complete the tasks of doing, but it's a task of knowing Him. When I was starting to work out and got up to a point, I enjoyed boxing, so I got back into boxing and running, a little cardio, and then someone told me about this hill, and a picture's going to come up. It's Cocoahead Crater. It's like, how many of you have been there, seen it, or Hawaii Kai? It's like, whoo, the manga is steep, man. It is steep. And so it's about the first or second time I had my daughter go with me. She was about 10 or 11, had my cousin go as well. And then, yeah, hold on this picture. My daughter, Malia, is way back. She's kind of in the light blue, and then my cousin in the black there coming up. You notice who's taking the picture? From the top. Who made it? I went dust them, man. Still had a little bit of water in my bottle. Hey, check this out, though. I mean, if you've been up this, it's tough. First time my daughter, 10, 11 now, she gets up, and there's about 15 more rail, or, you know, kind of these rail ties there, 15 more. And then she starts running. Now, climbing up, she starts running. She gets up there. Can I have some of your water, Dad? No, only got little bit. Now, I gave her some. I said, Malia. I mean, I was like, I'm kidding. If you've been I was like stunned. Why did you do that? Check this out. This is what she told me. This picture that comes up. I wanted to finish strong, Daddy. I really believe within every heart here. And even if you're like, you're staggering in your Christianity, maybe you're, a little stale. Maybe you're thinking about walking away. Wherever you're at, however strong, weak, if you're searching for Christ, I believe, born into every heart right now and speaking to every heart, there's something in it that says, in this life, Daddy, I want to finish strong. I want to finish strong for you.